Welcome to The Briefing. We are tracking a pretty fundamental shift today in how the major AI labs are sourcing their training data.
Yeah, for the past few years, the standard playbook was just scraping the public internet. But we all knew that well was going to run dry eventually. The high-quality public text is mostly exhausted.
Right, which leaves the labs looking for private data. And it turns out one of the most efficient ways to get massive, high-quality caches of human interaction is to buy it out of bankruptcy court.
It's a fascinating look at what a failed company is actually worth now. The physical assets are one thing, but the internal chat logs might be the real prize.
We're also going to look at some upcoming Linux kernel patches that are solving a major headache for gamers on lower-end hardware.
Specifically, what happens to your system when your GPU runs completely out of video memory? It's historically been a disaster for frame rates, but that is finally getting fixed.
First, though, let's get into this data auction. Google just won a bankruptcy auction to acquire the internal business data of defunct Spirit Airlines. The winning bid was $10 million.
They actually had to fight for this, too. They beat out an AI recruitment firm called Mercor.io, which put up a $7.5 million bid. So there's real competition forming around these corporate Deadpools.
The scale of what they bought for that $10 million is staggering. We are talking about 100 million internal emails, 500 million Microsoft Teams chats, and 30 million lines of code. They also get employee records going all the way back to 1986.
Google was clear that they didn't buy customer profiles, credit card data, or loyalty records. This is purely internal corporate data, and they explicitly stated it's for product development and AI model training.
Which makes perfect sense when you think about what frontier models actually need right now. They don't need more Wikipedia articles. They need complex reasoning, workflow coordination, and examples of how humans actually solve problems together over time.
Exactly. A public forum post is usually a finished thought, but 500 million Teams chats? That shows the messy middle. It shows how an engineer debugs a problem with a product manager, or how executives argue over a strategic pivot. That step-by-step human reasoning is incredibly valuable for training agentic models.
The privacy implications here are going to be a major talking point. The bankruptcy court filing notes that a third party is going to scrub the dataset of personally identifiable information before Google actually takes receipt of it.
I'm highly skeptical of how effective that scrubbing can be on unstructured data like chat logs. You can run a regex to catch social security numbers and phone numbers, sure, but inside jokes, stylistic fingerprints, the specific way a small team talks to each other every day?
Right. De-identifying a database of names is easy. De-identifying a frantic Teams thread from 2 a.m. where three developers are trying to fix a server outage is nearly impossible without destroying the context that makes the data valuable in the first place.
And it sets a wild precedent for anyone working at a struggling company right now. Your private, internal workplace complaints or your casual chats with coworkers are suddenly liquid assets. If the company goes under, those conversations get auctioned off to the highest bidder in Silicon Valley.
It completely changes the expectation of workplace privacy. We've always known the company owns your emails, but the assumption was that if the company died, the servers got wiped or put in a dusty legal archive. Now your old chat logs are going to be ingested into the weeds of the next Gemini release.
I do wonder how useful the code is. 30 million lines of airline enterprise code? I have to imagine a lot of that is legacy infrastructure, heavily patched over decades.
Probably, but even that is useful for training models to understand and refactor old, messy code bases. But the real prize is definitely the communication data. $10 million for 500 million real human conversations is a bargain for Google.
Moving over to the desktop, the upcoming Linux 7.3 kernel is bringing some initial patches that fundamentally change how the system handles video memory eviction.
This is specifically for the AMD GPU driver, and it builds on work by Valve graphics engineer Natalie Vauck. If you game on Linux or use a Steam Deck, this addresses one of the most frustrating bottlenecks you can hit.
To understand the fix, you have to look at what happens right now when a Linux system with a lower-end GPU, say an 8 GB card, runs completely out of VRAM.
Historically, the kernel just treated all applications equally.
Right, so if your game needs more memory, the kernel might blindly evict active game assets into your much slower system RAM to make space. When the GPU needs those assets back a split second later, they have to travel over the PCIe bus, and your game violently stutters or drops to 0 frames per second.
These new patches use the Device Memory Control Group framework, or DMMCG, to introduce actual priority logic. It lets the kernel know which application is in the foreground and which are running in the background.
So instead of evicting the textures for the enemy right in front of you, the system tells background apps like your browser, Discord, or the desktop environment itself to yield their VRAM space first.
The testing numbers on this are impressive. They showed that heavy titles like Cyberpunk 2077 or Indiana Jones: The Great Circle remain entirely playable even with 1 to 2 gigabytes of VRAM overcommitted into system RAM via the graphics translation table.
Keeping a game smooth while pushing a full gigabyte of overflow memory across the PCIe bus is a big quality of life improvement, especially for handhelds where you have a unified memory pool and strict hardware limits.
The catch here is hardware support. Because this relies on the DMMC group's framework, you're only getting these benefits on open source drivers like AMD's.
Yeah, proprietary NVIDIA drivers do not support DMMC groups yet. So we're looking at a fragmented situation where AMD users get this smooth memory management under pressure, while lower-end NVIDIA cards on Linux are still going to hit that hard stutter wall when VRAM fills up.
It's a great example of Valve's continuous investment in the Linux desktop paying off. They are solving deep kernel-level problems to make the SteamOS experience better, and the entire open-source ecosystem gets to benefit from it.
All right, let's run through a few more stories before we close out today.
Let's do it.
Seth Godin published a sharp critique of Amazon search ads this week, calling the practice legal theft. He points out that this search-distorting tax pulls in roughly $1 billion in profit for the platform every single week.
To put that in perspective, he noted Amazon makes enough from these search ads alone to issue a $35,000 cash bonus to every single employee and still have money left over. It's a brutal dynamic for creators who are forced to buy ads just to remain visible in organic searches for their own products.
Over at EMF Camp 2026, Philomena Gray presented a really fun hardware project where she pointed an industrial line scan camera out the windows of moving trains and ferries. By relying on the linear movement of the vehicle, it acts exactly like a giant flatbed scanner. She captured one grayscale panorama on a San Francisco ferry that ended up being 56,894 pixels wide by 2,048 pixels tall. The orthographic projection creates these wild visual distortions, where the width of an object scales with the speed of the train, rather than its physical distance.
A small workflow friction point was logged for the Claude Code desktop app this week. Clicking a local file link works fine, but clicking a markdown link pointing to a directory currently does nothing at all.
Users are requesting that directory links either open the folder in the app's internal file viewer or reveal it in the native OS file manager, rather than just failing silently when clicked.
And another Claude Code request. Users organizing their sidebar into named session groups want newly spawned tasks to inherit their parent's group automatically.
Right now, if an agent spawns a dedicated background task for a specific project, it lands in a generic no group bucket. Letting it inherit the group assignment at creation would keep the sidebar much cleaner for heavy users.
That's the briefing for today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more updates.